Connected live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Okay, we're going to speak about the Lotteries Commission. Now, this particular story is, I don't even know where to begin, but it's been a story that's been followed up on by journalist at Ground Up, Raymond Joseph, who's done a lot of work on the story. But we'll try and pick it up where we are right now. And let me just welcome firstly, Mr. Joseph, for your time. Good evening and welcome.
Hi, Pamela. Please call me Raymond.
Okay, Raymond. Thank you so much for that. I'm going to try and sort of work backwards. Where we are currently, Raymond, is that there was a call for submissions. I think it was a day ago. People being asked to submit for funding and all of that. But the problem is that a lot of the application says if you have been waiting for a response and you are sort of kind of waiting for us to tell you whether you are successful or not from the previous year, please do not apply again. Lots of NGOs have been quite uncomfortable with that. In fact, I think they wrote a letter saying, what is going on? Why is there such a backlog? And what does that mean for us who are waiting? Let's start there and see if we can then work backwards.
Okay, so what has happened is when you apply for funding from the lottery, from National Lotteries Commission, they are distributing agencies. So there's for charity, there's for sports and culture. There's four different ones, including a miscellaneous one. Mm-hmm. And those distributing agencies then adjudicate on your application. Mm-hmm. Now, there should be 9 to 12 people doing it. Unfortunately, when Ibrahim Patel left office, at the very last moment, there were only three left. He appointed one. He appointed another two, and one of them subsequently resigned. So there's basically four people doing the jobs of a dozen people. Mm-hmm. And what is also delaying it is, so I don't know if you know how much happened before, but the monitoring and the checking up on who was applying was so poorly done, particularly if you're applying for big infrastructure projects, where hundreds of millions of rands was paid over to build old age homes, to build drug rehab, stadiums, all sorts of things, and that money just got charred. Hmm. And what they've now done is they've actually now got very, very strict. So, for example, basic things like you would expect that when a nonprofit applied for money, they would go out and look at this nonprofit. Look at this nonprofit. Do they have premises? Do they have the resources? What is their track record? None of that was happening in very many cases. And sadly, look, and I'm not a spox for the lottery. I really feel for these people. But sadly, they've got caught in the middle of the attempts to clean up and to bring in new systems. So one of the interesting things, and I think this gives context to the level of corruption. And in Parliament recently, Andy Mutiba, Advocate Andy Mutiba, heads up the SIU, updated. He previously said 1.4 billion rand in grants was under investigation. He's updated that to 2 billion. Mm. I can tell you that I've been investigating the lottery since 2018, and we will never know the extent of the corruption. Mm. Unless whistleblowers come forward and tell you where to look, you don't know where to look. Mm. You know, they are tens of thousands of organizations that have been funded by the lottery, you know, and it just became free for all looting. And I'm sorry to say that members of so you've now got a new NLC board, mm-hmm. and you've got a new commissioner, mm-hmm. and you've got a new executive. Mm. Many of the people previously who were running the lottery, in fact, corruptly got money from the lottery, bought houses, bought cars, bought all those kinds of things.
Yes.
And what you're seeing is a correction of that. You know, where there are proper checks and balances. The other thing that's being done is they've brought in an electronic automated system, which is checks and balances throughout.
Mm.
And to make allowance for people in rural areas who don't have access, you know, who don't have a young family member understands the internet, they've made arrangements with different organizations within those areas for people to go in and be assisted. But that's what's happened. They have now advertised for more people to fill those posts in the distributing agencies. Adverts closed a few weeks ago, and I really hope that the minister, the new minister, is taking it far more seriously than the old minister did. You know, it's sickening what happened there. You know, there's no other way to describe it. It was just plunder and looting and a free for all. And so what you had is the people on top were doing it. And, you know, if people see the bosses misbehaving, they all had their own scams going.
Raymond, let's just talk a little bit about what seemed to be what others are saying unfair treatment by parliamentarians to the current board, commissioner and executive. What is the issue there?
So, look, so what happened is a few weeks ago, and I would just go back. I'm sorry, I've got to keep going back to give things context. For many, many years, the reason that this looting carried on for so long is the people involved, the high-ups, had really heavy political cover. There's no question about that. And, you know, in Parliament, the engine room in Parliament is not the house that people see on TV. It's the committees. And the committee, in this case, an ANC chair, an ANC-dominated committee, the previous committee, protected them. And finally, when the game was up, they turned around. We've now come to a new Parliament, and something very mischievous was happening is there was a lot of stories being floated around about corruption amongst the corruption in the new commissioner, the new board. It really was a deflection. And stories were appearing, and I'm sorry to say, City Press, a newspaper that I respect, and I respect Mondly, they became party to this. They were carrying these stories, you know, and as a journalist, it's surprising. A lot of anonymous sources making really wild claims without backing them up. And those claims then came to Parliament, where you had the new chair of the portfolio committee, I forget his first name, Masina, who used to be the mayor of Ekurhuleni.
Yes, MP Mzondile Masina.
Yeah, that's him, thank you. Musi Gigaba, Jacob Zuma's daughter is a member of that committee. And, God, what is he?
And what are your concerns about this committee?
Well, they then started attacking this committee, and what they were also failing to do is to differentiate between what had happened before and what is happening now. There's a cleanup going there, you know.
How sure are we, Raymond, that the current board and everybody, if there's no investigation, shouldn't we also be cautious as well with this current board?
So, look, I'm not there to speak for them. But I understand what has been going on, and I've followed it very closely. Yes, you should always be cautious, but what you've had are people who've gone through a thorough selection process, lifestyle audits, you know, and everything that was really need. You've got Barney Pityana, who I don't think many people would argue with me is a respected person, a lawyer, a priest in charge of it. And they've gone a long way. And one of the things that they have done is holding people to account who were involved previously. Yes, I don't think we should ever take our eyes off any state entity, but I'm seeing a difference. I really am.
All right.
And I don't want to come across as defending them, but it's chalk and cheese. There's no question of that.
All right. We'll obviously keep an eye on this one, as we are obviously all waiting to see who gets the new license. The journalists at Ground Up watching the story for a long, long time of the National Lotteries Commission, Raymond Joseph. Now, listening in to that conversation is someone that he was talking about, MP Mzwandile Masina, who is now the current chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Trade and Industry. A very good evening to you, and thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much. It's a long time. I hope you're good.
I am good. Let me just talk a little bit about some of your concerns. I just want to park a little bit, and I know you are listening to Raymond Joseph there, but I just want to start here with your own concerns. Your own concerns when you spoke to the National Lotteries Commission is the returning of 300 million rand back to the national treasury. Let's just talk about that and what exactly were your concerns?
Look, we had a number of concerns. Probably that will be the last issue that I want to raise.
Mm-hmm.
The first issue that I want to raise, we raised very sharply. And unfortunately, these journalists, you know, the problem about paid journalism is that you lose objectivity. We've raised issues with facts before him. And for a reason or the other, he chose not to listen to them. One of the facts is that there is a high level of conflict of interest at three levels.
Mm-hmm.
Firstly, at the level of the board, four of the six members that he's talking about
mm-hmm.
were at one point or the other involved in the awarding of the last lottery license, and there were problems that ended in the court.
They eat two by one.
So, yes.
Okay.
So for one reason or the other, those people ought not to have been in that board in the first place, because the majority of them came from the GTI, so there is no independent board. So we raised that issue quite succinctly, and we can raise it anywhere, and by no means we are accusing the individual concerned, but it's just a matter of conflict of interest. But those are credible people. That conflict of interest is simply conflict of interest. Second, the commission that she's praising, we have no issue with it. I've worked with the commission over the past 20 years. The fact is that the commissioner did not apply actually for the job that she was eventually hired for. This is, I'm saying it on record, on radio here.
Yes.
They advertised the post of a commissioner. 100 people applied. She was not one of them. She applied for a COO position. They abandoned that position themselves when we were not even there ourselves. And then they abandoned. They went and had 110 people. The commissioner was not one of them. You can ask her. She will tell you this fact. For one reason or the other, which they still need to explain, when it was time for interview, the commissioner was interviewed. And now, what was even worse is that when she got interviewed, she got interviewed not at the NLC, but she got interviewed at the GTIC, which is a conflict of interest on its own. Thirdly, the members who were handpicked or selected by this board and this commissioner had a conflict of interest. Two of the members, we pointed out to them, which is why I think they are issued now. We pointed out to them that these people have worked through, if you say these are industry experts, the entire industry has applied for this license. We pointed out two specific individuals, which I will not name. We said these two people, just for probity, go and look at how they've scored these companies vis-a-vis the companies that they are conflicted with. I can tell you now, put that, because it's a public process, put it out there, they will be found wanting. So we raised that issue of conflict of interest. By no means we accuse anybody. But to date, nobody has sought to answer us with regards to the issues of conflict of interest. So that was the first issue that we raised.
All right.
The second issue, which is unfortunate, I'm sure you heard the undertone of this gentleman. He says, I was the mayor of Figure Lane. I have never been accused of any corruption. Comrade Digaba Malusi, that he mentioned, he was mentioned in the Zondo Commission 6 years to 7 years later. He has never been called because there is nothing except allegations, and he's ready to go to court anytime. He mentioned somebody innocent, the daughter of former President Zuma, just because the father was said to have done things, and then therefore the child is guilty. He's irresponsible as a journalist, and we have to raise this issue quite frankly, because I see no reason. In that committee, it's a multi party committee. It's a committee of 11. Actually, the ANC does not have majority there. We only have four members. It's myself, it's Combat Malusi, it's Lufeso Mkutu, and it's Olga Yate. These are young people who have not done anything. All of us, by the way, were not involved in the initial phase of this thing, but we asked this critical question so that we do not have an experience, of having the National Lotteries Commission as a crime thing. So there is no way, as an oversight, we must just sit and say all is well. We are raising the issues responsibly so that we can ensure that this process is clean. As you said, that we are now awaiting to have the new lottery license. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a very serious problem, which is, and it's not going to end well in court with this allegation of this guy that is raising here. And nobody doubts the integrity of Ntate Mbijana, but he's very defensive and unreasonable. When you raise issues, he doesn't want to listen. So we are not here for him. There are separation of powers. He must do his part. We will do our part. We respect him. We respect the commission. We just simply raise issues of conflict of interest, which we said to the minister, please look into these issues. If the minister chooses to look away from those issues, when you come to us next time to say, what did you do as an oversight? We will raise these issues of embracing the debt. We did raise issues of conflict of interest. And as far as this new body is concerned, that's all that I want to
say. Sure. Let's talk about some of the issues that obviously concern everybody. These adjudication and distribution agencies that need to be appointed. What was the response by the National Lotteries Commission? And also, I want to just talk a little bit about how quickly and how soon you think the licensing process will be done, because that in itself is going to add other problems to the processing of issuing funds.
Look, that you can ask to the minister, because they have come to us, we've raised our issues, it is no longer in our hands. Whether the license is awarded today or tomorrow or never, it has nothing to do with the portfolio. Because once it is awarded, if there are questions that are brought before us, we will ask the minister and the NLC, because we have such a responsibility in the constitution to play oversight role, but we don't issue a license.
No, I understand. I'm saying is that because you asked the questions, you know, what kind of responses you were getting?
No, the response you got, it just didn't make sense. We decided that, look, anyway, the minister is appointed, let him do his job. But okay. And we did indicate that we're not happy with the response that you got.
All right. Okay. I suppose at the moment we just have to wait.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Trade and Industry, Mzwandile Masina. And as you heard for yourself, Raymond Joseph there, journalist at Ground Up, it's a story that we'll all have to keep our eyes on, because in the end, right, in the end for all of us, what actually matters in the end is that what happens with the funding that sits at the National Lotteries Commission? And if that money does not trickle down to the right organizations, it does impact on social issues and NGOs that are feeding people, NGOs that are securing the homes of insecure peoples who are maybe affected by GBV and all of that stuff. So I know it sounds very high level at the moment, but it's important for us to sort of keep track, because in the end, there are people at the very bottom of the food chain who get affected by some of the happenings at the top.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.